Let me say it clear. Homophobia is a form of fear and hatred that has no place in the beloved community.
The right wing is in ascendancy. They are already geared up to make gay people and our relationships the Willie Hortons of the 2004 election cycle.
Chances are, you know I love someone who is queer.
So-called straight girl, I know you see me.
Girls wanna have fun.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Outing threats backfire on a German right-winger, King's Dream Remembrance gets queer inclusive, and debut ditties from two lesbians and a lady. All that and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm John Beaupré.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending August 23, 2003. A threat to oust the mayor of the German city-state of Hamburg has backfired on its interior minister, a high-profile right-winger, but also sparked a national reconsideration of German media's traditional respect for politicians' privacy. There may be further national ramifications should Hamburg's obviously strained ruling coalition shatter, which could lead to a local resurgence of the so-called Red-Green coalition of Social Democrats and Greens that would also strengthen their position in Germany's now conservative-dominated upper house. It was under the Red-Green coalition that Hamburg pioneered Germany's first registered domestic partnerships for gays and lesbians in 1998. Hamburg's political profile changed in the wake of the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks on the U.S. because some of the terrorists involved had lived there. Fear rocketed into power Ronald Schill, who was nicknamed Judge Merciless while on the bench, and the new political party he founded, Law and Order Offensive, in partnership with the Free Democrats and the Conservative Christian Democratic Union. The CDU's Ole von Beust became Hamburg's mayor, actually governor of the city-state, and Schill became its interior minister.
The mess this week began when von Beust moved to fire Schill's deputy, Walter Wellinghausen, for possible conflict of interest, primarily due to Wellinghausen's moonlighting, but in part due to his hiring of his female lover. Schill perceived a parallel conflict of interest in von Beust's appointment as justice minister of a longtime friend, Roger Kusch. According to von Beust, Schill privately threatened that if the mayor didn't back off from firing Wellinghausen, he would make public what he believed to be a sexual relationship between the mayor and Kusch. While denying any such relationship with Kusch, the mayor told reporters that he found the outing threat so monstrous as to demonstrate that Schill lacks the character to serve as the city-state's top law enforcement official, and so had fired him as well as Wellinghausen. Schill immediately held his own press conference in which he said he'd had information that there was a sexual relationship between von Beust and Kusch, and that he personally knew them both to be gay, but said that he had never intended to make it public or attempt extortion. In fact, he made a strong declaration in support of politicians' rights to privacy in their personal lives, and added that he has no problems with homosexuals. He also announced his retirement from politics while saying that his party, often referred to as the Schill Party, would nonetheless carry on in the ruling coalition. Unsurprisingly, the Social Democrats and Greens called for new elections.
There was literally dancing in the streets at Schill's ouster, at least in a neighborhood with a large population of immigrants who'd been the primary victims of Schill's harsh judicial career. By contrast, von Beust's ensuing public appearances saw an outpouring of public affection, with many seeking to hug him. Polling found the incident left about one-third more citizens now ready to vote for the mayor than actually did at the 2001 elections, while the Schill Party's support shrank by about two-thirds. Schill is being investigated by federal authorities on suspicion of attempted coercion. The German tabloid Bild followed up with headlines of Kusch's declaration, "Yes, I am gay." Kusch also denied any sexual relationship with von Beust. The mayor, in the same article, was only quoted as saying, Whether somebody is gay or heterosexual, what somebody does in bed is his own private matter. And by the way, I am of the opinion that homosexuality is something normal. Reports make it appear that most Hamburgers believe von Beust is gay, that he should come out, and that if he did, it would in no way affect his standing. But while famously gay Berlin mayor Klaus Wowereit is a social democrat and gay member of parliament Volker Beck is a green, it's quite another matter to come out in von Beust's CDU, Germany's party of so-called family values.
Nor is it an easy matter to come out in Nepal, where the first ever gay and lesbian pride march was held last week in Kathmandu. Its organizers, the Blue Diamond Society, chose the date of the Hindu Gai Jatra Festival, a holiday of remembrance of the dead with a centuries-old tradition, as an occasion for Mardi Gras-like political satire and of costuming, including cross-dressing. Some 200 marchers, including visitors from several other Nepalese districts and from other countries, made a grand procession in colorful dress and face paint. They carried placards with messages including, "Accept our existence," and "Sexuality is not our choice." The event won highly sympathetic coverage from the Kathmandu Post and Nepali Times newspapers.
Pride was also celebrated in an entirely different climate this month, as some 30,000 people turned out to watch the fifth annual march in Reykjavik, Iceland. That's believed to be about 20 times the number of gays and lesbians who actually live in Iceland, but the Pride Festival has become one of the nation's top tourist attractions.
The prospect of too many visitors has led to the cancellation of this year's Pride March in Bristol, England. This week it was officially postponed from this September until next May. Local officials believed the intended waterfront venue was far too small for the 60,000 people expected to turn out for a free festival. This year's original organizers had already dropped out as cost projections swelled, although another group took up the challenge for next year.
Fiji's Lautoka Farmers Carnival this week featured Priscilla Night, where the National Human Rights Commissioner offered words of support. Dr. Shaista Shamim declared that Fiji's 1997 constitution affirmed gays and lesbians' right to equal treatment before the law, and that her commission both celebrates them and promotes their respect and dignity. She said she was honored to support them and pleased to have the opportunity to see them expressing themselves in a loving and peaceful environment.
There's no such room for public expression for gay and lesbian members of the U.S. military, though. Submarine Combat Systems instructor Michael Jason Tyner was not only eliminated as a contestant in the Bravo Cable TV network's Boy Meets Boy dating pool, he was subsequently discharged from the U.S. Navy after 8 years of service. Tyner told the gay and lesbian Southern Voice newspaper, "The reason I did the show is that I felt if anyone had a right to go on the show, then I did. I was comfortable enough with who I am and with my sexuality that I was ready to face the consequences." Tyner's ouster comes at a time when some distinguished military voices have called for an end to the so-called "don't ask, don't tell" policy. This week it was retired Rear Admiral John Hudson, former Judge Advocate General for the Navy, who called the policy virtually unworkable. In June, it was retired four-star General Wesley Clark, former NATO commander, who said, "I don't think it works. We should welcome people who want to serve." In July, one of the U.S. Army's own publications, Parameters, included a study concluding the policy is based on prejudice, not on military necessity.
Of course, Bravo's big new gay hit this summer is Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, which opened to record ratings for the cable caster, which have grown sharply with much showcasing by Bravo's owner, NBC. There was an issue there, too, for a man in uniform, a non-gay New York Port Authority police officer who was made over by the show's Fab Five gay style consultants. Some complaints ensued, and apparently John Verdi had not obtained advance official permission to publicly identify himself as a police officer, much less allow two of the Fab Five to try on his uniform shirt. But Verdi didn't suffer for those lapses. As a Port Authority spokesperson said, the police superintendent himself had seen the show and enjoyed it thoroughly.
Queer Eye is also headed for TV screens in Britain, Denmark, Norway, and Sweden. But it's not just the U.S. where gays and gay characters are proliferating on TV. In New Zealand, the gay and lesbian TV magazine show Queer Nation this week won the New Zealand Television Award, nicknamed the AFTA, for Best Factual Series.
Britain's venerable soap, Coronation Street, will be showing a gay kiss in October for the first time in its 43 years, as young Todd Grimshaw, drunk, turns to his girlfriend's brother, Nick Tilsley.
For North Americans who followed the action at fictional Degrassi Community School, Degrassi The Next Generation opens its third season in September with gay 10th grader Marco, an arty type who experiences discrimination and violence as well as discovering his sexuality and his first love.
In Australia, Warren and Gavin didn't win the big prize but made some money while giving a hefty number of Australians a close-up look at a real-life gay couple in the popular home renovation reality contest The Block, which wound up this week.
And finally, of course, gays and lesbians have featured prominently in TV's reality show since their inception. But this week, it was a Los Angeles gay couple, Raishan Lemkul and Chip Arndt, who won CBS's fourth Amazing Race and the $1 million prize. Arndt is an arts financing consultant, while Lemkul is a pilot and former U.S. Air Force officer who's now agreed to appear in a documentary on the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy. They celebrated their first anniversary in the course of the show's 13 episodes, which have aired while the U.S. faces an unprecedented volume of rhetoric against equal marriage rights for gays and lesbians. As they covered 44,000 miles through 24 cities on four continents, the competing teams called them the Chippendales, but the show always referred to them as married. Even in the news release announcing their victory, the headline was, "Married couple Raishan and Chip win the Amazing Race."
That's News Wrap for the week ending August 23rd, 2003. Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles. For This Way Out, I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Cindy Friedman.
One singer-songwriter gets her aviatrix wings while another proclaims her intractable style, and a jazz sensation tells New Yorkers to peel me a grape. You'll meet them all later in the program. An important anniversary was celebrated in Washington, D.C. this week. This Way Out's Lucia Chappell has the details.
I have a dream.
The dream still lives. Give yourselves a round of applause and welcome to the 40th anniversary of the March on Washington.
Thousands gathered in front of the Lincoln Memorial in the U.S. Capitol August 24th to mark the 40th anniversary of the historic 1963 March on Washington, with a return to the still all too timely call for jobs, peace, and freedom. The familiar refrains of the early civil rights movement and the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr.'s image of a beloved community collaborating for mutual support and social progress were fondly recalled, but the event also demonstrated an evolution in consciousness about the diversity included in that community. In the words of Southern Christian Leadership Conference President Martin Luther King III,
"We are here because our lesbian and gay sisters and brothers are still being subjected to persecution, discrimination, and violence because of their sexual orientation. Let me state it clearly, homophobia is a form of fear and hatred that has no place in the beloved community."
Previous March anniversary organizers have not been so ready to acknowledge the role of lesbians and gays in the beloved community. African-American lesbian author Audre Lorde only made the 1983 speakers list after pressure from black queer activists, and a similar lobbying effort was necessary to bring National Black Gay and Lesbian Leadership Forum founder Phil Wilson to the stage in 1993. Ironically, the forum was in the process of ceasing its operations when this year's March anniversary organizers determined for the first time to actually invite the participation of a representative from the gay, lesbian, bi, trans community. So rather than an African-American, that privilege went to National Gay and Lesbian Task Force Executive Director Matt Forman. The task force also sponsored activities during the weekend honoring the original March on Washington organizer, openly gay Bayard Rustin. Forman praised Rustin's work, then made a compelling argument linking the rally's emphasis on empowerment through electoral politics to the anti-gay backlash expected in the 2004 campaign.
"On behalf of an incredibly diverse gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered community, I thank you for inviting us to be here today, and in the words of Dr. King, to walk with you on the road to peace, jobs, and freedom. It's an incredible honor, privilege for me to stand here. I'd like to start by lifting up, along with Dr. King, the life and memory of Bayard Rustin.
Yeah.
An unsung hero. A dear friend of Dr. King. The principal architect of the 1963 march, and a gay African-American man. We also thank and honor Coretta Scott King, who for years and years has spoken out loudly for equal rights for gay people. And we lift up with gratitude the members of the Congressional Black Caucus, who again and again have voted against legislation that seeks to harm our community. Let's put something on the table right now. There are differences among the beloved community, but that's because we are people of conviction. And what we agree on so far outweighs what we disagree on. We agree that all discrimination is wrong, that everyone deserves full equality under the law. We agree that hate violence still stains America. And I note with sadness that just 1 week ago, right here in our nation's capital, Baya Evangelista, a transgendered woman, was murdered simply because of who she was. We agree that centuries of legal racial oppression can only be overcome through forceful and affirmative action. I could go on and on, but the proof of our solidarity is in what our communities do when they vote. Time and again, exit polls show that the Democratic Party's most loyal supporters are African Americans and gay, lesbian, and bisexual people. There is another thing we all here agree on, and that is the hard-won progress that we've made over the last 40 years in civil rights and economic justice is in mortal danger. But let's be clear. This administration right over there is in power. And this Congress majority is in power. And the right wing is in ascendancy. Not because it's what most Americans want inflicted on this nation. No survey anywhere shows that. No, this minority is in power because they know how to set aside their differences. They turn out to vote, and they repeatedly and successfully drive wedges into the heart of America and into the beloved community. Over and over and over again, we have witnessed their vicious, dehumanizing, demonizing tactics, shamelessly exploiting race, immigrants, choice, poor women, and the list goes on. Through this, they convinced even ourselves and other Americans that we are the enemy. They fracture us, they win. And mark my words, they are already geared up to make gay people and our relationships the Willie Hortons of the 2004 election cycle. This time, lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgendered Americans will be their chosen prey to divert the nation's attention from the mess they've made here at home and abroad. To all of this evil over so many years, all of us need to join together collectively and say enough. Dr. King spoke with a fierce urgency of now, and he said we are all tied together in a single garment of destiny, an inescapable network of mutuality. Urgently, then, let us all together put on that garment that we all share, and keep it on, and walk proudly together and defeat our common enemies. Thank you.
That was National Gay and Lesbian Task Force Executive Director Matt Forman speaking at the rally commemorating the 40th anniversary of the 1963 March on Washington. For This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell.
I'm a little tired of the weary throwaway line that there is no such thing as the gay sensibility. Of course there is such a thing as the gay sensibility. Of course gay men and women think in some fundamental ways differently from straights. It is not just about what we do in bed. It is about the echoes in the culture of who we are or who we aren't. Hi, I'm Clive Barker. Listen to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian news magazine.
Three up-and-coming queer musicians have a lot more in common than the release of their first albums. The truth will out in this month's Audiophile.
Molecular stretching out behind me with its greeny blue, making me wish I could turn that car around and drive it back to you. The night is falling, I can feel my eyelids heavy, looking forward to sleep. But I do wish I could be sleeping next to you.
Aviatrix is the title of the debut album by Steph Furness. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. Steph's album ranges from love songs to political songs, and she delivers them both with a conscience.
My musical style is, I think, more traditional, like singer-songwriter type folk, definitely influenced by Joan Baez. My newer stuff is a lot more bluesy. It's going more towards blues folk, and it's definitely political at times.
Steph Furness and her CD Aviatrix at www.stephfurness.com. That's www.stephfurness.com.
Mabel Dawn Davis is a new jazz artist on the New York scene.
Her debut album, Peel Me a Grape, reveals her sultry and sassy sides.
Peel me a grape.
Together. It's hopefully it's music you can tap your feet to, and maybe you cry a little bit or you're gonna laugh a little bit, but it's very intimate music. It's music that is just me spending time with you. It's Mabel Dawn Davis and you, precious.
Producer and manager, Dean McBride, at www.evanmedia.com. That's www.evanmedia.com.
Gina Young is a self-described singer-songwriter, actress, activist, and daredevil dyke dreamer.
It seems appropriate that her very out debut album is called Intractable.
Supposed to feel hurt. Burning bridges is all that I do. And if you're not careful, the next bridge will be you.
Well, the one thing I could say about being out in music is that I came out when I was about 14 in high school, and the first song I wrote totally had references to, like, Barbie being butch and, like, all these you know, LGBT references, and I think that there was never any question about, you know, am I going to be out in my music? Am I going to change the pronouns? You know, it was just never a question to me.
So-called straight girl, I know you see me on your boyfriend's shoulder. Happy. I've heard the rumors. You've got my sympathy. Is this a liar living? Is this a sin that we're committing? Do you wish I was a boy? Tell me a story. Tell me a story.
Find out more about Gina Young and her album Intractable at www.ginayoung.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiophile.org.
Audiophile is produced by Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum. I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. Keep listening.
Sleeping Beauty, your time is coming. Come to the party. Cause if you think you'll stay, if you think you'll stay, if you think you'll stay. How come I know how you taste?
Thanks for tuning in to This Way Out, the International Lesbian and Gay Radio Magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, John Beaupre, Fenceberry, Graham Underhill, Rex Walkner, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can also listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded through direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. To find out how you can help keep This Way Out on the air and get some queer audio history and timeless music in the bargain, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. And thanks to Alternabid and the Stonewall Society, you can still bid on some terrific items in an online auction to benefit This Way Out. Look for the This Way Out auction area at alternabid.com. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on WJSC Johnson, Vermont, KOOP Austin, Texas, 2NUR Newcastle, New South Wales, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Please do stay tuned.